Okay. We're continuing Perek Yud Zayin of Mishlei. Look on the left side, we have Pasuk. We're going to look at Pasuk Pesukim Zayin through Tet. Lo nevel svat yeter. That svat yeter. I'm going to translate it as excessive talk. The Allah Torah translated as arrogant speech.
Very small. Can you make it a little bigger?
The translation, yeah, that's better.
Yeah, it's tiny.
Better? Is that any better?
Yeah.
I'm gonna work this here.
Okay. Just hold the computer really close to my eyes. I don't know. I'm having issues.
Let's see. Can I change the settings here? No. Font size. Here we go. Let's make this bigger. How are we doing?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, I'm going
Thank
to
you.
move this over here. Oh, there we go. So it's okay. Naval definitely is pleasant, appropriate. Naval will translate as fool, but more often an ingrate. One doesn't appreciate it. Miser, someone who's stingy, is svat yeser. Nabal shouldn't have svat yeser, which he translates as arrogant speech, high level speech. I would say talking a lot, yeter, too much. Af gilin div svat sheker, and even more so for a nadiv, a prince, a generous person, someone who's dev, donates, is svat sheker, lying lips. Evin chen hashocha b'nei ba'alav, that bribery in the eyes of its owner is a precious stone. El kol asher yifneh yaskil, everywhere he turns, he will be successful. V'chaseh peshem avakesh ahava, someone who conceals a sin, seeks love. V'shoneh b'davar, but someone who repeats it, mafrid aluf, will separate, will alienate. Aluf will translate as a friend here. We're going to look at that last pasuk. The previous ones, we have to figure out what they're talking about. Let's say, svat yeter for Naval. Why is it shochad? It's Eben Chen. It's a precious gem. But starting with machaseh pesha b'vakesh, someone who conceals a sin, who covers over a wrongdoing, is someone who seeks love. Shoneh b'davar, who repeats something. Afrida aluf will alienate the aluf, and it usually means a leader. But here, especially in Mishlei, we've seen it mean a companion, a friend. So that's why he translates it here as the best friend. We saw that earlier in this paragraph, that ish tapukot yishalach madon, that a contentious person increases arguments, madon, strife, v'nargan, and someone who, I'd say, someone that increases Rogez. Nagat is a grumpy person, an angry person. Mafrid aluf does the same thing, alienates the friends. So this shoneh badavar, someone who repeats something, who's not machaseh pesha, who harps on the same thing over and over again, that alienates other people. So here we translate that similarly. Early in Mishlei, the same idea of the aluf being a close friend. And we've hazavd aluf na'oreha, that the unfaithful woman in Mishlei Bet, in the metaphor of the other alien wisdom, again, abandons aluf na'oreha, the friend of her youth. Or in Tehillim, this is David talking about Achitofel, who was his best friend. Vata noshke achi, you are a man as good as me. Alufi, you are my aluf, my friend, umiyudim, my intimate. And that's the message of this section, that you're supposed to be mechaseh pesha, cover over slights. Don't be shoneh davar, don't keep harping on it, don't keep going back to it. Don't get offended by little things. You're going to perseverate on everything, you're going to alienate everyone, and it's bad for your own mental health. Okay, and I'm going to quote, oh, what happened there? Sorry, let me go over here and edit this over here. Okay.
I'm glad you're up on your Taylor Swift.
You go. I quote the greatest American poet of the 21st century. What happened there? There we go. Two of my nurses are Swifties. Okay, I have to know this stuff. Okay, but the line about haters gonna hate, shake it off, that's important. Okay, that's the lesson here. You got to be mechaseh pesha. You got to get over the pesha, the sins against you. Okay, being a shoneh da'abar, coming, staying it over and over again, bad for society and bad for you. Right? You have to shake off microaggressions. You ever hear microaggression? I don't know. I edited this. It didn't say that was really. I am trying to figure out what's going on. I apologize. The editing failed. Let's get back here. Microaggressions are actions or word choices that seem on their face to have no malicious intent, but the thought of a kind of violence nonetheless. Right? You get offended by small slights, that things were unintended, it's a problem. Because the goal is really to be it's anti-fragile. I like that word. That's Nassim Taleb. Heard of him? He's an author, wrote the Black Swan about rare events. Talked about being anti-fragile. It's a class of systems that gain from shocks and challenges, right? The more they're shocked, the more the trouble they get into, the better they get. Bones get stronger, you stress them out. Banking systems, two examples, both get weaker and more prone to catastrophic failure if they go a long time without stressors and face a major challenge. Immune system is a good example. It requires exposure to certain kinds of germs. And the key is parents who treat their children if they're fragile by keeping them away from dirt and potential allergens are depriving their children of immune. Immature immune systems are learning experiences those systems need. And same thing socially, right? You can't overprotect kids, and here you can't protect anybody. Keep them safe from negative emotions, from then we deprive them of the challenge they need to grow strong. And they'll suffer even more later on. There's a powerful piece of folk wisdom, prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. As soon as you grasp the concept of anti-fragility, you understand why that folk saying is true. And that's Jonathan Haidt, who I've quoted before. Okay, and that's what you have to be mechaseh pesha. That's what Yonah says, mechaseh pesha, mekesh. You want to have friends, you want to have interact with other people, ra'im and companions, yechaseh pesha. Such a person will overlook. Or overlook the sins of their friends. They're not meant to be, they're microaggressions. Apologize again. Here. Okay. You can overlook your companion's sins, and you'll be mevater in the Yiddish expression. You'll get over it. You won't stand on ceremony, but as you go above, right up, then you'll have friends. But if you're shoneh davar, you keep going down, you're kaptan. You care about every little thing, as you have pid gamal direi chaveiro. That everything it doesn't exactly the way you want it to be. It doesn't match your sense of honor. And you go over things. Dibarta, you keep saying, you said this to me. Hashimoto, blame them all, the bar. Alina, the complain. That's my freedom, men are aloof, you'll alienate them. Closure came to limits out of Vim, you're not gonna have friends, you must say Lord because has up. You're that kind of person. And so the other psukim, that's Mechaseh Pesach, the previous psukim, Eben Chen Ashokat, that bribery is a precious stone, in this case is a positive thing. It's not bribery in a case of law. It's bribing someone else by being nice to them, giving them something that's not deserved. And therefore, El Kol Asher Yifneh Laskil, therefore, you'll meet with success. Being unreasonably nice. Right? Random acts of kindness. That helps. That works out for everyone. And that's what it means. The first pasuk we quoted, that's no nava, no nava, no nava. Right? Don't say too much. If you're not being a nadiv, generous, you're being a naval, someone who's stingy. You're being negative to someone else, just don't say anything at all. And that's what we say in Pirkei Avot, that Shammai Omer, Emor Ma'at Vaseh Abe, say little, in this case of being a naval, can't say something nice, don't say it at all. Vaseh Harbe, be a nadir, be generous, do a lot. Vevek Makabel Kol Adam, B'Sever Panim Yafot, and greet all people with a happy face. And that sever panim yafot means don't respond to minor slights, keep your mouth shut, and more ma'at. And the other side is do asayabe, do plenty. That's the contrast with the naval, between the rather the naval and the nadir. Naval mean the miser, the stingy person. I don't want to give you anything. That's me naval. Don't say anything. You're going to end up being, you're going to end up causing more trouble. And we remember from Shmuel. The story of Naval, a person whose name was Naval, Abigail's husband. There was a man who lived in Ma'on, had business in Carmel. He was very wealthy. He had thousands of sheep and goats. And it was the time of the sheep shearing. That's when you make your money if you've got sheep. This Shema Ish Naval, and he was called Naval, Shem Ishto Abigail. Vaisha Tavat Secha, and she was very smart, Torah, and beautiful. Vaish Kasheva Ram Olim, and the man, Naval, was very tough, did terrible things, who Kalvi, he was descended. And David says, Shalat now, and David sends a message to him, Shalat Nalecha, and Narecha, go ask your men, they'll tell you, see you in our imchem beinecha, and go tell all your people. David tells them, we've helped them out. This is Yom Tov, holiday for you. So, David, so please give us something. David's asking for a gift from Naval. He's got his men, he's running around in Har Yehuda. Who's David? Who is the son of Yishai? All these slaves are all rebelling against their master. He deserves nothing. He's got the chutzpah to ask me for food. You think I'm going to take my bread and my water, tea and my food, my meat, asher tavachti, that I have already butchered, those who are shearing my sheep. I give them to these people I don't know. Amy Zahem, I don't know where they're coming from. He refuses, he's not Abigail at David. Abigail comes David, Tamara, Tere, Mel Hamor, and she gets off her donkey, and she falls on her face, and she bows before David. And she tells him, Anasim don't pay. She tells him, don't pay attention to that worthless man on the vault for this guy Naval. It's my husband, but Kikishmo can't do because he's like he is just like his name. Naval Shemo, they call him Naval and Navala Imo, and he is Naval. He is stingy, he is ungrateful, he's not giving anything. I'll give you by me, Ani Amatcha, I your maidservant Lori Itiat Nare Adoni. I didn't see your men. So I couldn't tell them, I just like that you said, I will give you plenty. That's a Naval. And of course, Naval in the story dies in 10 days. Then he marries Abigail, you know the story there. That's so he says, Lo Naval and Naval Sfat Yeter, that talking too much is not appropriate. For a Naval, says talking a lot doesn't help a stingy person. Similarly, edge any more than lying about being generous. If you be generous, don't lie. Do what you're going to say. Don't overpromise and underdeliver. Right? I say ma'at, I more ma'at I say arbe, as Shammai says. Chazal bring the example of Avram and Ephron. When they're negotiating for Maror Machpelah to bury Sarah, this is Gemara Bava Metzia. Because Abraham was Emor Ma'at Paseh Arbeh. When he sees the three strangers, he says, Echav Pat Lechem, let me take a piece of bread. And then in Ketiv, he says, El Bakar Ras Abraham. He doesn't just take bread, he gets a whole sheep, a whole cow. Amar Eliezer, Mikan Tzadikim, Omri Ma'at Posim Arbeh. That's what Tzadik. Say a little, do a lot. Rishima, and the wicked speak a lot, say a lot of things, but don't do it. Now, where we see that from Ephron. Mekarkativ, then beginning, Ephron says, Eretz Abamet Shekek, Shekel Kesef, Beniu Menachama Hi. You know, this land, it's worth 400 shekel, but between you and me, what's it? What is it? Go take it. You can have it. Look at Tiv, Vayishma Abraham el Ephron. Abraham understood what Ephron was really saying. Vayishkol Abraham el Ephron and Akesef. And so Abraham gave Ephron the money, Asher Diber, that he was talking about, Bezebin. He gave him the full 400 shekels. Even though Ephron talked about giving it to him, it's a gift, it's a gift. No. So that's what we're saying. Don't be stingy, be generous, be nice to everybody, don't worry about the little things. And to sum it up, smile. Sever panima yafot, as Shammai says, and I like this quote, but keep smiling, it makes people wonder what you're up to. Here, you trust being nice, right? That's the Mekabel Kol Adam B'Sever Panim Yafot, Ketzad. This is Avot by Natan about this. Lamed Sheim Natan Adam L'Chaverah Kol Matnot Tovot Shebo'olam Ufaneh Vanav Kevushim Ba'aretz. That means that if you give all the gifts in the world to someone, but you're grumpy about it, you're frowning. Malak Katuv Ki'ilu Lo Natan L'Klum. It's like you didn't give him anything. But you greet someone with a smile. I feel not on the clue, even if you didn't give them anything physical. Malak Katuv, Ki'ilu Natan Lo Kol Manat Tovot Sheba'olam, like giving them everything. Be nice to people. And I've quoted this before from the Bracha for Yehuda. When Yaakov is on his deathbed, he blesses his sons. He says, Chachlili Einayim Miyayin, Levenshi Naim. The question, what does that mean? Yehuda, you are wonderful. And Rashi, and our scroll translates as red-eyed from wine and white-toothed from milk. Chachlili eyes that are chachlili, that are red, miyayin from wine, uleven, and whiteness of the teeth from milk. And that basically what Rashi says. Chachlili means lashon odem, redness. As we'll see later in Mishlei, Lemi Chachlilu Einayim, then we're talking about the wine being red, and derech shotei yayin einayim adamim, and that's because if you drink too much wine, your eyes get red. And Hertz, remember the Hertz Chumash? His commentary is still worth reading once in a while. He points out that it doesn't seem like much of a blessing. Yehuda, your eyes will be red with wine. And as he says, this rendering is absurd. According to it, Judah's eyes are red from excessive drinking, and Jacob's blessing is that Judah should be a drunkard. So we don't like that. So we try to see what that means. I'm going to quote the translation from the Septuagint. Because Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Torah. And it was written by Chazal, by the rabbis, but they bolderized it. They kind of they smoothed out all the difficulties. It's kind of sometimes interesting how they translate it. And so this pasuk here, Chachliyanayim is Charapoi oi ophthalmoi aton, which we know are Greek, right? Which means his eyes are more cheering than mine, right? Charapo, it means cheerful. Chachli doesn't mean red, it means cheerful, happy. And they translate meyayin not from wine, or mechav from milk, but more than. So it's understood as meaning chachli, his eyes are more sparkly than wine. And that's the way the Gemara looks at this pasuk here. Yonatan, toba malbin shinava. You should show the whites of your teeth to your friend, right? Smile. Your term of maushkeyo chalav, better than the drinks of wine. That better whiteness of teeth than milk. His teeth are whiter than milk. He is smiling. That's a bracha, right? That your eyes, Yehuda's eyes are smiling. The chachli meyayin are more sparkling than wine. His teeth are whiter than milk. His smile will extend to his eyes. And then when we translate chachli, either is cheerful, he is cheerful, or cheering means making other people cheering, and that ambiguity is intentional. If he is happy, makes other people happy. That's the bracha. More than wine. Wine makes people happy, but it's false. Yudas will be the real thing, extending even to the eyes. And that's what it means to have a nediv, that is, that who does not have sfat sheker doesn't lie. Be nice to other people. And then Shlomo continues and says, you don't have to correct everyone. Be tolerant of other people's mistakes. Again, that goes with the mechaseh peshem of ava, covering over sins, with seeking love. And tachek arab mevin, and better rebuke to someone who understands, to a knowledgeable person, me'akot kasil me'av, from hitting a fool 100 times. Ach maria v'kesh ra'ah, a rebellious person seeks out evil, but we'll translate a little differently in a moment. Umalach achzari yushalach bo, and a cruel malach, an angel, will be sent to that person. You're seeking out evil. Hashem's going to send a malach achzari after you. Pagosh dov shakul ba'ish, better to encounter a bereft bear, a bear robbed of her cubs. Better that. Ba'al kasil ba'ivilato, and don't try to deal with a fool and his foolishness. And this idea that techa, that's that first pasuk we just quoted of techa karam mevin, better to be rebuke someone who understands than hitting a fool, is the same as this, better to meet a bear than to try to deal with fools. That you can't talk to a fool. You can't try to get them to do anything right. That garat mochiach, that rebuking someone who ma matzvat ema b'lev, he inspires someone who's meivin, who understands, will understand, will get the right, like ema, fear, would have the right response. If you correct someone, say, okay, I won't do that again. Yoter mimah sheyechared aksil, more than that the fool will be afraid of yakem makot if you hit him 100 times. You should chastise those who will listen to criticism. Everyone else, it's the mechaseh pesha, cover up the sin, don't deal with it. But underlying this is something that actually Janet said last time. You were there last time. Janet mentioned when we talked about being a fool or a chacham, a gasil, is that really we're all, but we're both of those at the same time. Sometimes we're fools, sometimes we're wise people. And he made the point, like the four sons of the Pesach, right? It's not that there's a separate Chacham, Rasha, Tam, and Elisho. We are all Chacham. We're all Rasha, right? We all possess the four children within ourselves. We're all required, even though it doesn't have children, to recite all four answers. Since in essence, we are speaking to the wise, wicked, simple, and able to ask elements that exist within each one of us. So that's an important way to read Mishlei, right? Someone's talking to the Chacham or to the Kasil, to the wise and the fool. He's still talking to us. There are times when we're a Chacham, There are times where we're Kseil, and sometimes we're both at the same time. And the lesson here is, have we talked to other people? They're also both Chacham and Kseil, and people respond to the way we treat them. You treat someone as a Kseil, and it's Ma'akot Kseil Me'ah, you hit him 100 times, you're going to fail. They'll respond like that, but try to talk to them, that's better. Treat them as a Mevin. We've got Rod, just point things out, and they may surprise you. And then this pasuk in between of Achmariyat Bakesh Ra'ah, the rebellious person seeks evil. I would translate Mary not as rebellious, which is the way it's often translated, but as mar meaning bitter. In the theme that we've been saying, the bitter person who always sees the worst in others, who isn't, he's not always greeting people with a happy countenance. That's the person who's Yivakeshua, is seeking out the worst. And they're gonna say, Malach Achzari Yushalach. They're gonna feel that there's an evil angel, cruel angel standing over them. But they think bad things are gonna happen. They're gonna interpret it in the worst possible way, and they're gonna ask, why does God have it in for me? Said, no, that's because of your outlook. Reframe it. And then it's no longer achzori, it's no longer cruel. You can be happier. So we can conclude this section with Meshiv ra'ah tachat tova, lo tamish ra'ah mibeito. Same thing. Repaying good with evil, then the ra'ah, the evil will never depart from your house. Bad things will continue to happen. Always repay with good. And then poter mayim reshit madon, that a leak of water, a breach of water in a dam, is the beginning of strife. If nehit gala, and before it gets revealed, harevi, before the argument is revealed, natush, abandon it, let life fallow. That word natush, we see that in Shemot when it talks about Shemitah, Bashvit, in the seventh year nitishmatenu unteshta. Abandon the field, let it lie fallow, don't do anything. So this is poter mayim reshit avon, that the beginning of an argument is like a small leak in a dam. The Torah is to break. You got to stop it then, otherwise it's going to get worse and worse. So abandon the argument early, right? Like the stitch in time saves nine. You can solve a problem early on. Rashi says the same thing about helping the poor when it says, this was parasha, last week's parasha. If your brother becomes poor, and he depends on you, strengthen him. Whether he's a stranger or a native, he should live with you. And you have to strengthen him now before he suffers. Don't let him fall. And it'll be hard to get him up. But strengthen the other person when he starts to stumble. This is like a burden on a donkey. As long as it's still on the donkey, then as it starts to fall off, one person is enough to put it back in place. Once it falls off, even five people can't lift it back up. Better to help people early. And same thing here, better to stop arguing early. Once it gets started, it'll be impossible to stop. It's like a leak in a dam. So Madon, the strife, shu is the Malbim. She yachav yachavashu ezo aliyah ladun lishpot, that you're looking for some excuse to bring someone to court. That's Madon, in the sense of din. Dumeh kemish boter mayim. It's like someone who creates a small leak. Who put chum and opens it up. That before the leak starts, you can stop the flow of water. But once it starts, it's hard to stop. Starting an argument is like creating that small leak. The advice is, so if ne hitgala, that before the actual argument starts, before it is, how do you translate, here before quarreling breaks out. The judge should try to get to abandon the argument. So Peshar Benehem Lashmatam, make some kind of compromise. So that. Yeah. So bottom line is Lifnehit Gala Hariv Natosh, before the argument starts, let it go. And I could sing the song if you wanted, but I'm not going to. Just let it go. Don't let the small leak turn into a flood. Don't be stressed out about microaggressions. Smile. And I'll stop here. And
Lesson, great lesson. It just keeps coming back, the lesson, because people don't learn it, but here it was in Mishle and now it's in Frozen.
there you go. Well, actually, I will say that the message in Frozen is not about letting go of offenses. Letting go is letting go of responsibilities. The song is not a good song, right? She is queen, but she wants to abandon her responsibilities. You can't do that. There's something you should let go. The lesson is fundamentally from Taylor Swift. Shake it off.
But like, I don't know if you've heard of the book by Mel Robbins called "Let Them," the Let Them Theory. It
No.
became very popular, and it's basically that message that don't, like, get pulled into everybody's, feelings about you. Like basically the microaggression idea, just like let them do what they have to do. Don't let it, destroy you. Just be, let your own
Let
stuff.
Them by Mel Robbins. This one
The
here.
theory.
I
Yeah, you
made you
found it.
feel that people can't talk about it. I don't know who Mel Robbins is.
She has a podcast. She's really big right now.
Okay.
So that's Michelet for you. She
You
just
have Mishle.
she Michelet, yeah.
Experts on confidence. Wait, stop wasting energy on what you can't control. Stop focusing on what truly matters. Your happiness, your goals in your life. There you go. Okay, that is
But I
our
like
lesson.
the part that you said that you should just like the leaky that leakiness of
Yes,
it.
that's a great, it's a mashal. That's a great
That's really cool.
metaphor there. Poter mayim reshit tavon.
Yeah.
The beginning of the leak is the beginning of argument. Stop
Right.
it.
Let it, yeah.
Mikah hariv natosh.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Thanks. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.